This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of hammer toe from the foot and ankle section on orthobullets.com. A hammer toe deformity is characterized by PIP flexion, DIP extension, an MTP that is neutral or extended, and keep in mind that the deformity can be rigid or flexible. As far as the epidemiology, a hammer toe is the most common deformity of the lesser toes. It is more common in older women, and the second toes are usually affected. The pathoanatomy involves overpull of the EDL as well as imbalance of the intrinsics. Associated conditions include painful corns at the dorsal PIP joint. As far as the classification of hammer toe, it's important to tell the difference between a claw toe, a hammer toe, and a mallet toe. And we'll talk about the differences between each based on what's happening at the DIP joint, the PIP joint, and the MTP joint. So in the setting of a claw toe, the DIP and PIP joints will be in flexion, and the MTP joint will be in hyperextension. Again, in the setting of a claw toe, both the DIP and PIP joints will be in flexion, and the MTP joint will be in hyperextension. In the setting of a hammer toe, the DIP joint will be in extension, and the PIP joint will be in flexion, while the MTP joint will be normal or in slight extension. So again, in the setting of a hammer toe, the DIP joint will be in extension, the PIP joint will be in flexion, and the MTP joint will be normal or in slight extension. In the setting of a mallet toe, the DIP joint will be in flexion, the PIP joint will be normal, and the MTP joint will also be normal. Again, in the setting of a mallet toe, the DIP joint will be in flexion, and both the PIP and MTP joints will be normal. As far as the presentation of a hammer toe, patients may have symptoms of pain on the dorsal surface with shoe wear, as well as the deformity that we just described. Physical exam should also involve ankle plantar flexion, where a flexible deformity corrects with ankle plantar flexion, and a fixed deformity does not correct with ankle plantar flexion. Finally, you should perform what's called a push-up test, in which a flexible deformity is reducible with dorsally directed pressure on the plantar aspect of the involved metatarsal. With the push-up test, the effect of overactive extrinsics is removed. So again, in the push-up test, a flexible deformity is reducible with dorsally directed pressure on the plantar aspect of the involved metatarsal, and with this, the effect of the overactive extrinsics is removed. As far as imaging, imaging is not required in diagnosis and treatment of hammer toes. Treatment of hammer toes can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management involves shoes with high toe boxes, as well as foam or silicone gel sleeves. This is indicated for pain and/or corns on the dorsal PIP joint. Operative options include a flexor tendon, or specifically the FDL to EDL tendon transfer, a PIP resection arthroplasty plus or minus tenotomy and tendon transfers, a girdle stone procedure with an FDL to EDL transfer, an EDL Z lengthening or tenotomy, an EDL Z lengthening and dorsal capsular release, a PIP joint arthrodesis, and finally, you should also treat any concurrent forefoot deformities. An FDL to EDL tendon transfer is indicated for a flexible deformity that has failed non-operative management. A PIP resection arthroplasty plus or minus tenotomy and tendon transfers is indicated for a rigid deformity that has failed non-operative management. A girdle stone procedure with an FDL to EDL transfer is indicated when there's MTP involvement. This is similar to claw toe treatment. An EDL Z lengthening or tenotomy is indicated for mild MTP hyperextension. An EDL Z lengthening and dorsal capsular release is indicated for moderate to severe MTP hyperextension. PIP joint arthrodesis is an option in rigid deformities. As far as outcomes, PIP joint arthrodesis has a high non-union rate. As far as treating concurrent forefoot deformities, you should correct a hallux valgus for a second hammer toe, or you can also perform an arthrodesis for severe hallux valgus, as well as an amputation for severe hallux valgus touching the third toe. The indications for amputation for severe hallux valgus touching the third toe include elderly patients, poor health, and a patient that does not want hallux reconstruction. Now, let's go over the surgical techniques for resection arthroplasty plus or minus tenotomy and tendon transfers, as well as a girdle stone procedure in a bit more detail. So in a resection arthroplasty plus or minus tenotomy and tendon transfers, you will resect the head and neck of the proximal phalanx to create a fibrous joint. And you can do this with or without an FDL to EDL transfer. You should then hold it in place with a K-wire for 2 to 3 weeks. Postoperatively, you will protect these patients for an additional 3 weeks with taping of the PIP in extension. Moving on to the girdle stone procedure, which again is a flexor to extensor transfer, you will perform an extensor tendon lengthening with Z-plasty, then perform an MTP capsule release, plus or minus metatarsal shortening with an oblique osteotomy, and finally an FDL to EDL transfer. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 38-year-old male construction worker presents for a follow-up visit of a painful lesion with overlying skin changes over the proximal interphalangeal joint of the second toe that has been present for over 3 years. He has tried wearing shoes with a high toe box, cushioned toe sleeves, and anti-inflammatory medications, but continues to experience discomfort that prevents him to work some days. On physical examination, there is PIP joint flexion with DIP extension that is not passively correctable. What is the best treatment option for this patient? And the choices are 1. Weil osteotomy, 2. PIP resection arthroplasty with K-wire fixation, 3. Flexor digitorum longus tendon transfer, 4. Extensor digitorum longus lengthening, and 5. DIP joint fusion with K-wire fixation. The correct answer to this question is 2. PIP resection arthroplasty with K-wire fixation. So the patient in the question stem is presenting with a rigid hammer toe deformity that has failed conservative treatment. The best surgical option for this patient would be a proximal interphalangeal or PIP joint resection arthroplasty with K-wire fixation. To quickly review, hammer toe deformities are the result of PIP joint flexion with DIP joint extension and can lead to a painful lesion or corn on the dorsum of the PIP joint. The overpull of the extensor digitorum longus, or EDL, is typically the underlying mechanism in addition to intrinsic muscle weakness. Non-operative management includes high toe box shoes and padded toe sleeves. Surgical management is dictated by the flexibility of the PIP joint deformity, with flexible deformities managed with flexor digitorum longus, or FDL transfer, and rigid deformities managed with PIP joint resection arthroplasty, or fusion. Similarly, mallet toe deformities are the result of overpull of the FDL, resulting in a hyperflexion deformity of the DIP joint and potentially leading to ulcers or calluses of the toe pulp. Moving on to the next question. A 43-year-old female presents with a painful right second toe. On examination, she has a rigid flexion contracture of the second proximal interphalangeal or PIP joint with neutral position of the metatarsal phalangeal or MTP joint. The deformity does not correct with foot plantar flexion. What is the most appropriate sequence of treatment options? And the choices are 1. Dorsal PIP joint padding, shoe modification, and PIP resection arthroplasty, 2. Plantar PIP joint padding, PIP resection arthroplasty, and MTP capsular release, 3. Dorsal PIP joint padding, shoe modification, extensor tenotomy, and metatarsal head excision, 4. Plantar PIP joint padding, shoe modification, and PIP resection arthroplasty, and 5. Dorsal PIP joint padding, extensor tenotomy, and PIP resection arthroplasty. The correct answer to this question is 1. Dorsal PIP joint padding, shoe modification, and PIP resection arthroplasty. So the patient in the question stem presents with a rigid second hammer toe. The most appropriate progression of treatment is padding the dorsum of the PIP joint, modification of shoe wear, followed by PIP resection arthroplasty if conservative treatment fails. Extensor tenotomy / lengthening may be performed concomitantly to address MTP dorsiflexion contracture. To quickly review, rigid hammer toe deformity is characterized by fixed PIP flexion, which does not correct with foot plantar flexion. It is associated with neutral to slight MTP extension and variable position of the DIP. Persistent deformities are symptomatic from dorsal pressure to the PIP joint, which is why padding and shoe modification are the first lines of treatment. The resection arthroplasty procedure involves resection of the distal condyle of the proximal phalanx, resection of the articular surface of the middle phalanx, and compression of these two surfaces into proper alignment. The phalanges are then pinned in position using a Kirschner wire. The procedure produces either an arthrodesis or a fibrous union at this interface, and a true arthrodesis is not necessary for a successful result. And moving on to the final question. A 57-year-old woman complains of pain and deformity of the second toe that is limiting ambulation. Shoe accommodations and NSAIDs have failed to provide relief. She has a fixed flexion deformity of 40 degrees at the PIP joint, but the MTP joint is not involved. The hallux is normal, but painless PIP flexion contractures are present in the other lesser toes. Which of the following is an indication for PIP resection arthroplasty as opposed to soft tissue balancing and realignment? And the choices are 1. Fixed deformity, 2. Pain with shoe wear, 3. Presence of hammer toe deformity in all lesser toes, 4. Absence of metatarsophalangeal joint deformity, and 5. Absence of a concomitant hallux valgus deformity. The correct answer to this question is 1. Fixed deformity. So hammer toe is defined as a flexion deformity of the proximal interphalangeal joint. There are many causes, including neurogenic, degenerative, and metabolic processes. Hammer toe can also be secondary to another deformity in the foot, such as hallux valgus or curly toe. Consequently, there are numerous surgical procedures available for treatment, including soft tissue releases, tendon transfers, resection arthroplasty, and arthrodesis. The presence of fixed deformity precludes success with soft tissue procedures alone. O'Kane et al. Review 100 cases of excisional arthroplasty for second-digit hammer toe. High rates of clinical satisfaction were achieved with only 2 revision surgeries. Floating toe was the most frequent complication. However, floating toe did not adversely affect shoe wear in any patient experiencing this complication. Coughlin et al. Review 63 cases of excisional arthroplasty for fixed hammer toe. The resection arthroplasty was stabilized with K-wire fixation that led to bony fusion in 81% and fibrous union in the remaining 19%. Only minor complications occurred, and 84% of patients reported high clinical satisfaction. That's all for this review about hammer toe. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.